I find myself this morning to be an interesting case study on the topic at hand that we will be speaking about. We're still in our series in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, but this week and next week we'll be doing a sort of like two-part mini-series within the Proverbs series, tackling the truths that Proverbs has to teach us on our planning and God's providence. This morning would be part one of that, of course. And so today we will look into the wisdom God has given us and given to us as it relates to the plans of man. Should we plan? Shouldn't we plan? And if we should, how should we plan? Now, I said that I'm an interesting case study because I love the idea of planning and I hate to plan. I love the idea of having everything ready. I know what's ahead for the next day or the next week or the next month. But I hate the feeling then of having those plans down and now feeling like I'm busy. I love the lack of stress that comes with knowing what is ahead. And I hate the sense of being boxed in and constrained to a schedule. So who am I in this regard? I do not know. If you would go back in my office, you would find on my desk three notepads. One is called, it's titled Dashboard. On it, there is a seven-day calendar, six focus areas, with eight subpoints beneath each of those focus areas, and then three top priority boxes that I can plan my week out. I have another notepad that's just called Today, which has my day broken down from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. into 30-minute increments that I can then plan my day, and then it has some general to-do lists. And then I have one called Tasks that just has 10 bullet points that I can throw some things down with a general notes section at the bottom. I also have a yearly planner in my desk as well. And so if you go back to my desk, by the looks of it, planning is my favorite. But if you ask my wife, who writes the family calendar on the wall of our kitchen? She would say that she does every month. If you ask her, who initiates the conversation about what we're going to do this weekend? What does our Friday, Saturday, Sunday look like? She would say she has to sit me down and pull these things out of me. If you ask her what kind of vacations we like, she'll say that she wants, on her vacations, an itinerary planned out to the most specific detail. And I want days full of no plans and like one or two possibilities that maybe we'll get to and maybe we don't. Let me see what I feel like. And so by the looks of that, you would say I think planning is the worst. So who am I? I don't know. Many of you might feel the exact same way, or you're just somewhere on that spectrum. You love it, or you like it, or you see the value of it, or it's not your cup of tea, or it's a headache, or it's the bane of your existence. Somewhere on that spectrum, we all fall. However, it is also true that regardless of how we feel about planning, plans happen, and they have to be made. As a church, we make plans. We plan ministry calendars. We plan preaching series. We plan music set lists. We plan times of prayer. We plan to take the gospel to other nations. We plan our budgets. We plan to start a preschool. We plan all kinds of things. And it's because without planning, they won't happen. Or the way that they will happen will not be to the full glory of God as it relates to our faithful stewardship of our resources and our responsibilities. Same is true for you as an individual. Whether you like it or not, there are just some plans you have to make. And within your life, you have to constantly navigate the plans of other people. Schedules, finances, school classes, moving dates, grocery lists, whatever it is. You make plans, big and small. Planning is a part of our lives. God knows that it's a part of our lives, and He expects us to plan. And when we plan, He expects us to plan wisely. As we learned last week, there is a wise way to operate through life. And there's a foolish way. So today, as we work through some of the Proverbs that discuss wise planning, we will notice two ways that the fool navigates this idea of planning, and three ways of the wise planner. Now today, more so than any other sermon in this series, we are going to bounce all around. And so in your worship guide, I put the scriptures, most of the scriptures we will use, and I tried to do it, unless I switched something up last night or this morning, I tried to do it in the order that we will see them, just to help you out if I could. So let's pray, and then let's hear from God through his word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you don't leave us in the dark in any necessary area of our life. In your spirit and in your word, you have given us all that we need for life and godliness. Would we hear what you have to say this morning? And would we listen to it? And would we then, as it instructs us, live our lives full of life and godliness, at least in these ways? Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." This verse is one of the more well-known verses in Proverbs, and it sort of guides our sermon for this week and for next. Today, we see that the heart of man plans his way, and in fact, it is good that that happens. It is right for that to happen. There's no rebuke here from God for a man to plan his ways. But how should a man do this? How should our hearts be directed in this endeavor? Well, first, we can notice something that we should not do. We should not do what the fool does. And the scripture from Proverbs says that the fool is in a hurry. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." 22 says, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." Verse 5 of chapter 21, we see that word plan in there, the context being a discussion on wealth and poverty. But even in this, we notice what the fool does that is antithetical to careful, patient, diligent planning. And that is being hasty or being in a hurry. The fool seems not to plan at all, and certainly not to plan with diligence or patience or care. The fool has a desire, and that desire is not necessarily right or wrong, to grab a thing or gain a thing or be at a place or to advance to some degree. Not necessarily sinful, but the path that they choose to go toward it is thoughtless. If they have a plan at all, it's the kind of plan that they decide to muddle together in the moment, or they're just going to keep running and everything would just sort of work out. It's worked out to my life up to this point. I'm sure it'll just keep working out. I'm just going to run and I'll figure it out on the fly, and I'll leave all these other patient planners in the dust behind me. But the end we see from Proverbs is a negative. Indeed, it does not work out as they had hoped. One of the statements made by my basketball coaches over the years has always stuck with me. I think of it now at least monthly, probably weekly. Maybe Pastor Adam, our resident basketball coach, has said this a time or two, I don't know. But starting in middle school, my coach would always tell us, "Be quick, but don't hurry. Be quick, but don't hurry." Now, in my brain, that comes from Coach Grantham, my middle school basketball coach. But in my later years, I learned that that's actually a quote from the famous basketball coach, John Wooden. And in fact, there's even a book that has been published with that as the title, based off of his saying that. Be quick, but don't hurry. Now, the quote is about basketball, of course, but as Proverbs highlights for us here, the sentiment is about more than just basketball. hurrying doesn't help. This is noted even in the book. The book says, this phrase applies not just to sports, but to every phase of your life. It applies to our expectations of anything we hope to accomplish and how quickly we can expect to get there. Impatience and unrealistic goals will sabotage individuals in any place. Expect immediate attainment of your goals, and invariably, you will never reach your destination. Wooden himself commented on the importance of quickness and the lack of it with hurry. He says, I think that it's important in most everything. Don't hurry. You make mistakes when you hurry. Otherwise, you'll have activity without achievement. And I don't care for activity without achievement. Quickness is a result of preparation, of planning. So diligence and patience in life, in planning here in particular, is a trait of the wise. But the opposite, the man or the woman who simply rushes headlong, head first, without a plan, ends up in a place they don't desire to be. This could be true in the financial world, could be true in the intellectual world, could be true in the physical world. Gaining wealth without the work of diligent planning normally doesn't work out well. Gaining a good physique without the work of working out well doesn't work out well. Gaining wisdom without the work of prayer and study winds up not really even being wisdom at all. And so instead of patient planning, the fool is in a hurry. But the wise operate differently. The wise planner ponders their action. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15, he says, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Proverbs 14 beckons us to be the kind of people that order our lives, that plan our lives, and decide the direction of our lives in a righteous way, in a way according to God's wisdom. We are to set ourselves up in a properly planned direction. It's the simple, it's the fool that we have just heard, rushes headlong into danger and in haste, really without any proper pondering, with any real thought to what they're doing and where they're going. They will believe anything, says Proverbs chapter 14. Anything that sounds good, as long as it fits the way that they want to operate and doesn't slow them down with what they feel is needless and wasteful time. But the one who is wise comes to a more basic conclusion, and that is that considering their next steps is not a waste, but it is wise. You could be choosing a college major. You could be navigating a disagreement with somebody. You could be buying a house, buying a car, whatever it is, whatever decisions you're making, whatever goal you're running after, wherever you think you want to be a week from now, a month from now, 10 years from now, planning and pondering the path of your feet really is the wise way to operate according to the way the world was designed by wisdom herself. There's a show that Kay and I watched together. We watched this particular one last year. And the show has a bunch of different competitions that you do. A lot of games. Some of them are intellectual games, memory competitions, but at least half of them are physical competitions or mazes or combinations of all those things. And the show has a bunch of different people that compete in it week after week. But there was one guy that was infuriating to watch play all of these competitions. The point of the competitions is to finish first. That's the goal. You want to finish first. And he would be moving so slow, agonizingly slow. Like our hands raised, we're yelling at the TV, kind of, what are you doing? Why are you so slow? But the more you watch the show, throughout the season, you end up seeing the genius of his ways. Because he was always giving thought to his steps. Very literally in most competitions, thinking about where he would step. He was always pondering the path that he would take and the path that he was taking. And he won almost every single one of those competitions. It's a little bit tortoise and hare-y. He would just be going slow and steady. But he was thinking, and he didn't make mistakes. So everyone else was running with their head cut off and making a bunch of mistakes and having to start over, and he would just be methodical. He had planned out what he was going to do, and he won, like, every time. Agonizing to watch, but he was doing it the right way because he planned his steps. And life is the same way in the big picture and in the daily decisions that feed into the big direction of our lives. In every single case, planning is the way of wisdom. The simple do not operate with discernment, but the wise think through their actions and they make a plan. And when you do that, when the wise do that, they're actually adopting a godly methodology. God has plans. We see that over and over throughout the Word of God, that He has a will, that He has desires, that He has purposes, that He moves in an intelligent, thoughtful, devised way in order to accomplish the agenda that He has decided and that He has said He will accomplish. All over the Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations." Prophet Isaiah in chapter 14 says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand." Paul writes in Romans, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." He writes again in Ephesians, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Luke writes in Acts, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." So we can accept that having an agenda and having desires are not bad, and that creating a plan and thinking through the path to accomplish these things are not bad. But in fact, they're just following the footsteps of our Father in heaven. Having this plan, making one, devising it, thinking about it, pondering it, that doesn't make us God. Our plans, our will, our purposes, they're not ultimate. We'll see that plenty next week, but we'll see that even more throughout today. But regardless of that, giving thought to our ways, thinking about your next step, setting goals, pondering a good path to accomplish those things are not against the ways of our God, but they're in line with the ways of our God. So instead of patient planning, the fool is in a hurry, while the wise ponders a plan of action. But the fool actually puts himself at another disadvantage, and this is because the fool is not just in a hurry, but the fool is stuck in his own head. Proverbs chapter 14 and 16 say the exact same thing. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. I've mentioned this statement before, but it's, to me, it's just so good. And it fits perfectly here. It's one that is often attributed to Mark Twain, that it ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. That is the problem with the fool. There are times when maybe the fool is not in a hurry. They're willing to sit down. They're willing to ponder. They're willing to plan out what purposes they hope to accomplish. They might be willing to do so patiently and carefully. But being a fool, they then make a plan that is patiently, diligently laid out foolishly. These verses are said twice within the book of Proverbs, and it's for good measure. We could probably need to hear it 3, 4, 5 times because they need to sink in for us. Because it is much easier, I believe, for us when we look into a mirror, it's much easier for us to discern if we're operating in a hurry than to discern if we just believe something wholeheartedly that's dead wrong. Because we don't know what we don't know. It seems right, but its end is the way to death. We can be dead wrong, but at the same time, be willing to die on that hill because we think we're spot on. Which is a scary place to be. Because how do you discern if you are the fool following what seems right or the wise following what is right? How do you discern that? Which is why I said the fool is in his own head. You can't know these things simply by looking inward and wrestling with your own thoughts. Socrates built much of his philosophy around the conviction that self-examination is the beginning of wisdom. We've already seen throughout the scriptures that is not the beginning of wisdom. Fear the Lord is. Thinkers like Descartes began with the certainty of the self. I think, therefore I am. Nietzsche came along and urged people to become who you are. There's certainly wisdom in honest self-examination. The Bible itself calls us to examine ourselves, but according to what? The assumption too often made is that the answers that we seek as we examine ourselves, the answers are inside of us. If you just search deeply enough, spend enough time, think carefully enough, if you understand yourself clearly enough, then you will discover all you need to know and you can make a plan for the right path. The problem is, though, Proverbs says that you do that and you will discover a path of a fool. Proverbs says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. So how do you know if all the ways you think are right are right? All the plans that you're making are correct. You may seem right. How do you know if it is right? Our problem is not that we don't know ourselves well enough. Our problem is that our hearts are fallen. Our thinking is darkened by sin. Our judgment is unreliable. And it's really not that we lack information. It's that we misinterpret reality. And we confidently walk down roads that lead to destruction because from our perspective, it seems right. If all I have is my own wisdom to evaluate my own wisdom, if I have no standard outside of myself to tell me when I'm wrong, how do I know if I'm wrong? Planning is wise because it is the fool that rushes ahead without a plan. But wise planning is necessary because the fool may also make a plan, but do so based upon his own foolish understanding. Both of those possible paths lead to death. So what is the proper way of planning? Well, given what we've just read in Proverbs, it makes obvious sense to do what God tells us in Proverbs chapters 11, 12, and 15. And that is that the wise planner pursues advice. Proverbs 11, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 15, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, we are told exactly what we just saw in our previous verses. That the way of a fool is not necessarily that they are doing what they know is wrong, but they're wrong nevertheless. The lens through which they are making decisions and organizing their ways and planning their days is right according to their own discernment and beliefs. However, they're believing what is wrong and refusing to seek wisdom outside of themselves. Or they're only surrounding themselves with individuals who already believe what they believe. Or they're only surrounding themselves with individuals who may not believe what they believe, but those individuals are too weak to speak wisdom to them and to call them out. But the wise planner, on the other hand, pursues advice. They want it, they crave it, they seek it, they know they need it, and so they go and get it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 assumes to some degree that plans are being made. They are being made by most people, if not all people, to some degree or another. Some plans are being laid out by the wise, and some plans are being laid out by the foolish. And one of the clearest markers as to which kind of person is laying out the plan is whether or not they have received advice. Because without it, says Proverbs, a man's plans fail. With it, there's flourishing. Two ways of flourishing: safety and success. In Proverbs 11, we are told that counsel from counselors guides a people along to safety. We heard earlier, the hasty run headlong into suffering. The wise listen to counsel that brings safety. Where we found the individuals wrapped up in their own limited heads lead to death, the wise counsel make plans that direct people to safety. Safety is a good consequence of the wise planner, but so is the ultimate goal of success. With many advisors, plans succeed. They end not in death, but success. And it may seem like a dumb question to ask you, but when you make plans, what do you hope happens with those plans? Do you hope that those plans lead to safety and success? Or do you hope they end in some other direction? The answer is obvious. Of course, we want our plans to end in people being safe. We want our plans to end in the way that we purposed them. We want them to be successful. But are we humble enough to operate in the way that God says is the path to ensure that those plans lead to safety and success? Because that's where we often fall short. We don't seek counsel. We don't gain guidance. Maybe we're too prideful for that sort of thing. Or, and this is where our scripture goes an extra step deeper, we simply posture ourselves as the kind of people that accept advice. Oh, I'll ask a lot of people for their opinion. I'll hear what they have to say. Or the kind of people that accept advice without being the kind of people that seriously applies the advice that is given to us. That's the difference Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 is pressing into us. A wise man listens to advice. Is not to say that a wise man allows advice to be spoken toward him in his presence. It's to say that a wise man hears the advice, accepts the advice, and implements much of the advice. When we don't do that, some of the worst words that are ever spoken to me are, "I told you so." I don't know if you've ever heard those words spoken to you, but those words cut. "I told you so." But first of all, "I knew you told me so." You didn't have to tell me you told me so. I already recognize that. But it's pride that leaves us vulnerable to hear those words, "I told you so." Because if they told you, maybe that was wise advice. And maybe you should have listened to it. And the wise person does that. The foolish person probably hears, "I told you so," weekly. The wise person receives that very rarely. Also because the wise person might not have a bunch of friends who, even when they did tell them so, don't come at them with "I told you so." But either way. And it doesn't matter what your plan is. Whether you plan to start a business, whether you plan to start a relationship, whether you plan to take a second job, whether you plan to end a relationship, whether you plan to confront a friend, whether you plan to go on a mission field, you're planning to get out of debt, it doesn't matter. The wise planner gives consideration and gives thought and ponders his steps. And the wise planner adds to his pondering by pursuing advice. He needs it, and so he goes and gets it, and when he gets it, he allows it to guide his diligent planning. But there is a final attribute to a wise planner, couple of attributes. And this is that the wise planner pays attention and properly arranges their plans. Proverbs chapter 27, starting in verse 23, says, "Know well the condition of your flocks, and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever, and does a crown endure to all generations?" Assumption is, of course, not. "When the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and maintenance for your girls." There's an appropriate interpretation from many of the scriptures that we're looking at with planning to apply it to a good work ethic. That's true of our verse from Proverbs 21, true also of another verse from Proverbs 14, true of this first chunk of verses as well. And this is understandably because planning and working often go hand in hand. And we will be discussing a work ethic, the work of the wise and the sloth of the fool later in this series. But these verses speak to the way the wise make plans as well. Because all the plans we make are made within a context. They're made within reality. And the wise planner pays attention to the context of their life as they make their plans. They recognize what they need, they recognize what they're going to need, and they seek to attain those things. They also recognize what they currently have, and so they plan to take care and steward those things well. They look forward into the future in light and through the lens of the present, and they make a plan to be, or they make a plan to have what they will need when that future day arrives, which arrives for all of us. That day, as verse 24 communicates, riches don't last forever, crowns don't continue on. There will be a day when maybe some of the things you have, you don't have, and you'll need something. How can you prepare yourself for that day with what you're currently, with what is currently available to you? The wise planner looks at their current state of affairs, considers their future need and desires, and makes thoughtful plans for how what they have now can get them where they want to be in the future. "Know the condition of your flock," says Proverbs. "Pay attention to what is yours and at your disposal in the present. Know what lies ahead of you." He understands he's going to need food. He's going to need clothing. He's going to need land. And so decide today and make a plan to steward your resources today to have what you need tomorrow. And those sorts of decisions don't happen accidentally. Life is not lived flying by the seat of our pants, and so proper planning is the godly expectation for our lives in order to accomplish rightly the responsibilities entrusted to us. And so we choose to make thoughtful plans and to ponder our path. We choose to seek advice and then actually listen to it. We choose to open our eyes to the current situation we're in and the gifts we have from God. And we choose to look ahead and know that there is a situation where I want to be in the future. How can I set myself up for safety and success to get there? So we actually formulate a plan in a proper order with all of the wisdom being considered. Proverbs 24 says, "Prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house." This is a proper arrangement to plans that we make. Often we make plans and the immediate desire, the immediate felt need that we have supersedes and gets in the way of what the wise person would really do in their planning. Planning is good. Planning with guidance is good. Planning within your own reality and your own means is good. But often we make plans to tackle the short-term wants, and it causes us to miss a window for setting up our lives to handle long-term needs. I have a list of to-dos. You heard about that in my office. And you can set out the list you want for the days ahead. This person in Proverbs 24 could do that. So I need to harvest my crops. I need to have a family. I need to eat food. I need to sleep under my roof. I need to sow my seeds. I need to till the soil. I need to build a house. All these different things. And all of those are worthy plans. But you can't just put those things in any old order you want. and say that because they're all good desires, that means it's going to work out well for me. You can't harvest the crop without sowing the seed first. You can't sow the seed without tilling the soil first. You can't eat the food without harvesting the crops first. You can't have a family without first building your house so they have somewhere to sleep. And you can't sleep under your roof until the house is built. And you can't spend all your time building your house and then starve to death inside a warm house because you failed to first get your fields in order. The foundational things must be planned before the secondary goals. And wise planning takes this into consideration. And all of this appropriately applies to the micro moments in our lives, the daily decisions, and even the long-term plans in particular areas like family and finances. But they are all, when it is all said and done, foolish, even if you plan those things wisely. Foolish if not applied to the largest, most foundational, primary plan that we must have in our lives. That's our plan for eternity. Jesus, our Savior, twice gives us stories and parables teaching us the necessity of knowing our circumstances, properly preparing, and wisely planning when it comes to our spiritual lives now and our eternal life when the day comes. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus gives the illustration of a king choosing to go to war or a builder choosing to embark and engage in a building project. And in both circumstances, the foolish course of action is to just rush ahead and risk humiliation. And the wise course of action is to assess your current ability, assess the cost, and make a plan then to proceed. And he makes the connection to our lives for us and saying that this is what we must do as well. In Luke 14, he says, verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In verse 33, he says, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. To live healthy spiritual lives now, you must make a plan to follow Jesus, the author and the founder, the perfecter and the completion of our faith. You cannot be spiritually alive without being his disciple. And being his disciple does not just happen on a whim. And it doesn't happen without intentionality. And being his disciple comes at a cost. And we're called to count that cost and to account for that cost and so plan for that cost. It's a serious plan to make, to follow Jesus, to be his disciple. But the same is true not just spiritually now in following him, but spiritually forever. The parable that we hear from Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 warns us that a day is coming. We don't know when it is exactly, but we know the day is coming. We know that it's real, and we know the decision made that day is final. Notice the need for proper planning as Jesus tells it. Matthew 25, starting in verse 1. And the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." It says, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise responded, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go, rather, to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, the wise, went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." It is only those who planned and planned rightly who Jesus accepted into his eternal presence. The others were told, I do not know you. There's the wise who prepared and planned, and there's the foolish who did not. In Jesus' own words from verse 2, he calls those two kinds of people, wise and foolish. We make a lot of plans, and we're rightly called to make many wise plans throughout our lives. But none are more important than the plan that you have for your spiritual life now and your spiritual life in eternity. Do you follow and have planned and prepared for and know Jesus to be accepted into his eternal presence? Or have you not planned? You haven't thought about it. You haven't pondered your path. And you'll be like one of those five virgins with no oil. When the time comes, you're scrambling, trying to get something together. And it's too late. And Jesus says, I don't know you. You didn't count the cost to follow me then. You didn't make a plan to be with me for eternity. So you won't be. I think we've seen a lot this morning as it relates to our opening instruction from God's word in Proverbs 16:9. The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. We've looked only at the first half of that instruction. This first half of that instruction cannot be disconnected from the back half, that the Lord establishes his steps. The truth that the Lord establishes the actual steps, we'll spend our time next week seeking to wrap our minds around what that means, that we're called to make plans. But he's overseeing all of it. For today, though, we have a sort of last act that must be done with our plans if we are to steward those plans in our lives responsibly. And this we see a few verses back from Proverbs 16:9 and Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Proverbs are not promises, okay? That's, you got to know that reading Proverbs. They are not promises, but they are general wisdom for the way the world works, because as we saw in previous weeks, wisdom herself was there before the foundation of the world and participated in the foundation of the world. And so she tells us how the world works. When we make our plans before we and as we begin acting and implementing those wise plans, the truly wise planner commits all of that work to the Lord. And to do this rightly, it challenges some things about the kind of plans that we make. I was watching on social media a funny reel this patch. Past week, where this couple is sitting down for dinner, and they have their food in front of them, and they're praying for their meal, and the husband says, Lord, we thank you for this meal, and we ask that you nourish our bodies with this food. Amen. Meanwhile, as their eyes are closed, and as he's saying that prayer, the food, would it be nourishing to us? And the food in front of them transforms from a hot dog and chips to fruit and chicken. And the challenge that we see with praying a prayer like that, and the challenge we see with committing our work to the Lord before implementing our plans, is that our plans have to be in line with what he has revealed are his good desires for us and for others. We cannot commit the work of embezzlement to the Lord. We cannot commit the work of shady affairs to the Lord. We cannot commit the work of selfishness to the Lord. You can go on and on and on, right? our good plans should be laid out for things that are good for his people and good for his glory. And we commit those to him. And we trust that he will establish those plans. And even then, we trust the rest to him as he establishes the steps and their outcomes according to his will, which we'll look at next week. I believe God's word challenges us this morning in a few ways. Firstly, for those who have, to this point, not planned wisely for their eternity, the word of God calls you today to prepare wisely for that day. For that future day when either because you die or Christ returns, you are to step into eternity and be held accountable for the sins in your life. And as we already heard, God made that plan for you. Jesus, who lived a sinless life, was offered up on a cross according to God's plan, says the scriptures, to pay for the price of all the sins of all the people who would believe and submit their life to him. That was his plan. And he tells you that plan. And so would your plan then, if that is you, would you plan to call upon him, to call upon Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior? That's what the word calls you to do first. It's what it has called all of us to do first. For those who live in Christ already today, the word today challenges how you walk wisely throughout your life. And you can begin even this week seeking counsel for whatever decisions that you have to make. We're all going to make a decision this week. You're probably going to make a decision. You might be thinking right now, what am I having for lunch? We make decisions all the time. Some are bigger and some are smaller. Try seeking some advice. And maybe try, when you hear that advice, doing something really according to that advice that you get. And commit your work to the Lord so that those plans can be established according to his will. Begin by pondering your path, being a wise planner this week. And next week we will hear the providence of God as it relates to these plans that we make. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you direct us even in our planning. In the daily decisions, you don't tell us what we need to do, what we need to have for lunch. You don't tell us who to date. You don't tell us what job we need to take. You don't tell us if we need to move. You don't tell us what church we're to be a part of. But you give us principles. And they are principles from you. Would you plant those principles in our mind and in our hearts so that we can live according to them? And in doing so, we can trust that whatever comes from it is your goodwill toward your people. Because you've told us that as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.